we have a tendency to focus more on methods than the mission. Understand, just because you look like a fisherman, just because you have the right garb on, just because you talk like a fisherman, you studied the charts, you've got the best equipment, you've got the best net, you've got the best pole. But if you never cast your line out, if you never put your net out, you're not going to catch anything. So let me make that a little bit more clear. You may look like a soul winner. You may look like a Christian. You may sound like a Christian. We here in the church, we call it what? Christianese, right? We have our own little Christian language, right? So we look, walk, and talk like we're Christians. We've read all the books of the Bible, all 66 of them, not just in the King James Version, but in the New King James Version, the ESV Version, the NLT, New Living Translation Version, the every version you can think of. We spend a lot of time, but if you never share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, they'll never know. They'll never know. Jesus called those who follow him to be fishers of men. This is this fishers of men wasn't an exclusive club. It wasn't just for the 12. It was for everybody. If you belong to Jesus, he wants you to reach people using the gospel. This morning we will be looking at Luke. The fifth chapter, verses 1 through 11, and if you would turn your Bibles and follow along with me or follow along on the screen there. Luke 5, starting with verse 1, and it reads, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come over and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Father God, this morning, as we look into your word, I pray that we too would become fishers of men, fishers of women. Let us not have that spirit of timidity. Let us be courageous. Let us be bold. Father, I ask for your empowerment this morning, that I would be able to share your word with authority. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, as we read in this passage, that the action of those men while they were fishing, and how they were successfully able to bring in a lot of fish, there's a few things that are required of us, for those of us who are going to be fishers of men. And so we're just going to look at a few of those that we can pull from that text this morning. And first of all, I want you to notice that fishing with Jesus requires participation, all right? Requires participation. Peter had fished all night with no success. Before he would catch anything, he had to get in the boat with Jesus. Not only that, he had to follow Jesus' instructions in order to be successful. Now, I think most of us know that Jesus was a carpenter, right? and Simon was a professional fisherman. Now, granted, I know that I'm not a professional fisherman. My livelihood is not dependent on it. But I think I kind of know what I'm doing when it comes to dip netting down in China, especially. And I know that, okay, like when we went down there, I knew that, I found out that the boats had gotten out. The fishing boats, the commercial boats go out. And when the commercial boats go out, they drop their nets. That's it. You're not getting anything. I mean, one or two might, you know, get through, but, you know, you're there that day to enjoy the beach. Simon knew that fishing in the Sea of Galilee, you fish that during the daytime. It was during the daytime you fished it. And you didn't go out into the deep water. You fished that area in the shallow water. He had some experience. This wasn't his first rodeo. He knew what he was doing. He had been fishing all night and nothing. And Jesus says to him, and you can tell that Peter must have had a little bit of faith, because Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Hey, push your boat out a little bit. Push your boat out a little bit and cast your nets." And so Peter says, and I think it's pretty powerful, in verse 5, he said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word," who? "At his word, I'll let down my nets." Jesus, because you said there's fish out there, because you're telling me to push my boat out, I'll do it, and I'll do it in faith. Peter obeyed. Soon, Peter witnessed probably the biggest miracle he'd ever seen, for all of a sudden, he had lots of fish. Lots of fish. I would say that he limited out. that's a phrase those of us in Alaska were familiar with, right? Did you limit out? That's what they were on Earth. Did you catch anything? They were on. Did you limit out? Did you catch all you could catch? Peter caught all that he could catch. Jesus personally called to Peter to push out the boat away from the shore and then launch it out into the deep. It was huge. The Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives little and little when we become convinced, when we believe that the Jesus that's spoken in this word is real. When we read scripture and we say that the God that this Bible speaks about is real, is true, when we read about his son and come to know that he is real and that he loves us and that the Holy Spirit that was in Jesus Christ can also be in you. Wow. When you realize that, then you take on a whole new life. You can't help but take on a brand new life. I don't know. How many of you that have been married said, oh, I was a different person before I married her or him? I'm just leaving that open, all right? I'm different from the way I was. I'm a better person now. We're saying that, right, fellows? Husbands are getting nudges. I'm thinking here and out there, too. I know that this coming into a relationship is perfect timing. It's his timing. It's God's timing. When he says to follow me, that was timing, perfect timing. And it begins with a small step of faith. Maybe sometimes a big step. A small step of faith to launch out into the deep end. I think that any of us that, except for those fearless kids, you know, like, that's the deep end. You know what I mean? That's what, you know what it's like. You know, you graduate from the little bloom puffy up things on your arm and, you know, and the next thing you know, you go to the deep end. Jesus sent Peter into the deep end. He sent him where the fish were at. In the same way, Jesus wants you and I to go where the fish are. If we will trust him, we'll see a great catch. That catch being the souls of who we minister to those we witness to, the ones we speak the love of Jesus Christ into. But in order for that to happen, we have to be willing to get into the boat. You got to be willing to get in the boat. This morning, I ask you, those of you who are here and out there, are you willing to get in the boat? You ready to be fishermen? Because if you are a child of God, that's expected of you. It's not an either or. It's not like, oh, well, I'm going to leave that to this guy. I'm going to leave it to the pastor to do that. I'm going to leave it to the evangelist, the missionary to do that, not me. No, that's not what the Bible says. It's incumbent upon each and every one of us to be fishers of men. Well, number two, fishing with Jesus requires determination. We all see the disciples. At least seven of the disciples were fishermen. We know for certain that this was the case with Peter, Andrew, and James. Fishermen possess that certain quality about. That quality work that translated into kingdom building, and that's being determined. Determination. Jesus told Peter to let down the nets. He told Peter to let down the nets for the haul of fish of his last time you'd ever see. Peter said, but Jesus, we've worked all night long. In scriptures, we toiled in the ESV. We were out on that water. In Chitna, oh my goodness, it just seemed for. I've been out there where, and some of you too. You get out there, you put your net in, and wow, fish! And then, like within 2 hours, maybe even less, you've got your limit. You've limited it out. You're like, hoo-hoo! All right, that was relatively easy. Not this time. Not this time. There was some serious toiling going on that river. Putting that net in the water. The back, trying to be in the back eddy. The surges. Nothing was happening. It was like, man, we're getting tired. More tired. And like, finally, there was a fish. Okay, because This never ever happens. I had caught a fish before my friend Russ Boyer. I told him I told him I wouldn't do it, but I am. Because he always outfishes me. But I caught a fish before him. But it was long and it was arduous. We got fish, but there was a degree of determination in that. The disciples just said when they were in the water, they just didn't throw their nets in the water a few times. And they didn't give up. They kept on fishing for hours and hours without catching not even a sardine. They didn't catch anything. As Christians, we attempt to reach people for Christ. We study. We study God's word. There are publications that kind of help us along to guide us to learn how to study God's word. How to share the good news. And then the moment comes when you're face to face with a person. I don't know that you've ever experienced this before. I hope that you have. But there comes that time when God has that person that's been in your heart. Has that ever happened to anybody? There's somebody in your life that you're like, I just wish, I just pray that they come to know Jesus. And it seemed like it was crazy that they were never going to, that they would never get it, that they would never know the love that you have for Jesus, that they would understand that they could have that kind of love too. Have you ever had that person? I do. I still do. And some of you even know that my sister who I prayed for, right? We are all a part of that. We just pray that she come to know Jesus. And now she does. But sometimes when we go to speak to those people and invite them, they're like, are you kidding me? Get away from me. I think more often than not, that's what we get, right? I mean, if it's not bad enough, we're like, okay, I'm coming to tell you that Jesus loves you. Here I go. Hey, Jesus loves you. And shut up. Get away from me with that. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm just really not interested in that. People, there's give reasons why they don't want to, why they reject you. Daniel Burke, a religious editor, said that there's people that the reasons that they give, they say that it's not very important. It's not important for me to have a relationship. They say I haven't found a place to worship that I like. I don't like the sermons. Okay. I don't like the sermons. Here's one. I hope that is never said here. I can deal with the sermons aren't there, but to hear that they aren't welcome, I can never live with that. But that's why some people say they don't come. They don't feel welcome. Here's the most popular one, I think, one of them. Well, 12% of them say, I just don't have the time. Hey, I like to hang out with you on Sunday, but man, you know, they can't use the game is on right now. So they can't use that excuse. But they're like, hey, I just don't have the time. Some even say that there's no place of worship in their area. I know that as a kid, living in Fairbanks, we lived on Eielson Air Force Base, and every Sunday we traveled into Fairbanks, which is about, 34 miles, kind of? 34 miles. We traveled 34 miles every time, and I know that there's people who traveled even further. I know there's people in this congregation that travel further than that to come here. So when I hear somebody say there isn't a place to worship in their area, then sometimes you just need to go to where that place is at. I think it's a point that we are all faced with, that decision. Will we give up on that person? Will we give up on evangelism? You're like, no, hey, Pastor JR, I tried to tell them that Jesus loves them, and, you know, they told me, you know. So I guess I'm not that good, so I'll stop. I won't do it anymore. It's difficult sometimes to reach those who don't want to be reached. Regardless of the rejection, we must be determined to continue casting out our nets. Don't give up. I know people didn't give up on me. My mom didn't. That's why I'm here this morning. Don't give up. And you know what? You know who likes to see us give up most? You know who it is. Satan. Oh, man. Satan loves this rejection. He likes that weapon when we're seeking to share the love of Jesus Christ. And he will tell you, he'll say, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know the Bible by heart. You don't know Scripture by heart, all of it. How do you think you're going to be effective? You don't know what you're doing. You're doing it wrong. Leave it to the professionals. You don't know what you're doing. And sometimes we let that evil one get the best of us. We're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I just should just leave it up to those guys. Because I tried one time. I tried one time. And it didn't work. So evidently, I don't know what I'm doing. And Satan is like, yeah! I got him. I got him right where I want him. Doubting. Giving up. All of us have been called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful. We need to be passionate. We need to be obedient to the Great Commission. People will, it's one thing just to try to just read a verse to somebody and just say, well, don't go anywhere. I want to read a verse to you. People see Jesus when we live it out. They'll see that compassion and that obedience. Like, so where are you going Sunday? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go worship this Sunday. Really? On a Sunday? Don't want to go fishing? Oops. I don't know. Not that God doesn't want us to enjoy his creation. He does. He created it for us. But we need to put the creator before we need to keep it in check. Creator first, then creation. Creator first, creation second. Don't give up. Be determined to share the good news. Fishing with Jesus requires cooperation. Another great characteristic of the fishermen that translates in the kingdom work is the fact that they work together. Did you notice in that text, Peter said, we had worked all night long. We worked all night long. People asked me when I came back from Chitna and some of, you know, like, so how many did you get? Or did you limit out? I'm like, no, I didn't limit out. But we, Russ and Xavier and I, we brought in 53. Huh? We. Working together. These men were not fishing with rods and not a dip net, but a big net. Large nets. When you work with something like that, you have to work. You can't throw those big nets out by yourself. It takes a team. A team to throw them out and a team to retrieve the catch. when Jesus sent the disciples to share the gospel, he didn't send them out by themselves. In Mark it says they sent them out by twos. He did not expect his disciples to do this great work alone. There is strength in numbers. In Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, it says two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. In other translations, it says, for if one falls, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. And that's just life. That's getting married scripture right there. That's getting married scripture right there. You can't do it by yourself. When the other falls, the other is there to pick them up. And those of you who have been married for a couple days, you know that's true. You know, there are days that, you know, you're not at your best. You come home beat up from the world. And there's nothing like that other person there to say, hey, I'm here for you. Get away from me. No, I'm not getting away from you. Come here. Let me give you a big old smooch. Okay. All right. Andrew, Peter, and James and John worked together to bring this great catch of fish, and soon they would work together to bring a harvest of souls doing kingdom work. We must be joined with our brothers and sisters in Christ to do that type of work. Lastly, fishing with Jesus requires an expectation. When Jesus arrived, he saw two boats at the edge of the lake, and they're washing their nets. These men had worked all night with no success. No success. And I think most of you who have fishing gear, whatever it takes you there to catch fish, whatever you're using, you know whether you have a bountiful catch or not, you have to take care of your gear. You take care of your gear, and your gear will take care of you. Right? And that's what these disciples were doing. They were taking care of their gear, but they still had a positive attitude, a positive outlook. They were preparing for the next time they would go fishing. Hey, we didn't catch any last night, but tomorrow we'll be ready. Our nets are strong. We've mended them. They're good. It had to be discouraging and likely even frustrating for the fishermen to work all night and catch nothing. That is frustrating. But they weren't going to let that keep them down. Fishing for men will not be a leisure activity. It is our Christian responsibility. It is a responsibility that you'll never be relieved of. I was asked, when do Christians retire? When do pastors retire? I would say this. Let me put this in perspective. When does a lifeguard retire? Do you not think that if a lifeguard, even in their senior year, saw somebody drowning, they wouldn't jump in the water and try to save them? They don't say, oh, no, I'm retired. I don't do that anymore. Someone's flailing. Yeah, you know, I took off that Red Cross shirt. I don't do that anymore. We, as children of God, have had a permanent call placed on our lives. And Jesus told Simon, he said, hey, from now on, you will be catching people. The pages of this Bible speak to that. I mean, first they're fishermen, and now they're going to be fishermen. They're caught fish, and now they're fishing for men. Those same group of disciples, you go a couple books later, and you look at them in Acts. These fishermen, they limit it out. They limit it out in Acts. They got up there together. Peter spoke a word that rocked the house. Over 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ that day. Yeah. He limited out. Believe me, I will tell you that it's worth all the labor involved in getting that catch. And sometimes you might not limit out. But sometimes you'll catch the one. You'll catch one fish. You'll speak to that one. The one that needed to know Jesus Christ. We never know how people are going to respond to the word. But we have to have that expectation of saying, Jesus, one of these days, he's going to get you. And it's not that any one of us can save someone, okay? We can't. Let me just say that, all right? Doesn't know how much, no matter how much theology you know, you cannot save not one person. Only he can. He's the one. The one that died on the cross, he's the one that saves people. There was a pastor in Uganda. He was there with their translator, and they were going to this lady's house there, and he's like, do you know who this lady is? She is the meanest lady in town. The meanest lady. To put that in perspective, she's in the deep water. And he's like, his friend that was with him, like the interpreter says, this lady is mean. He says, okay. Hello. And by their meeting's end, she saw the compassion that was in that pastor as he shared the word of Jesus Christ. Not by doing this, but by just looking into her eyes and letting his heart be exposed, that person could see Jesus in them. They said, I want that too. The meanest lady in town. Everybody knew it. The meanest lady in town that day came to know Jesus Christ. There's something about the Spirit that grabs a hold of someone. I read this in an article. It says that this article reads, there was once a fishing village on the shore of a great lake, stocked full of fish. The fishermen of the village diligently debated and discussed what fishing is, how best to do it, which was the best equipment. They sent people out to investigate. Hey, how can we fish this? They hired staff. They sent out people to find out all they could. They wanted to consider themselves fishermen because they had everything in place. But yet one day, a little kid said, how can you call yourselves great fishermen when you've never caught a single fish? Indeed, no one in the village had ever actually caught a fish, the article reads. They had never been fishing. Sadly, many churches and many Christians do the same thing. We are not called, we are not called to be keepers of the aquarium. I'll let that sink in a little bit. We are not called to be keepers of the aquarium. Jesus calls us to be fishers of people. Go share the love of Jesus Christ. Not in here. Out there. Out there. He wants us to reach those lost souls. We need to push away from the shore and go out into the deep. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28:18-20, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end. Just know that you go out as children of God, you have authority. You have authority given from the Creator. You have authority. You don't need to be squeamish. You have authority. I think that some of us, we don't realize how much authority we have. But he's given us authority. And not only that, do you get that last part? He says, and I am with you always to the end of age. In other words, he's not going to leave you hanging. He's right there with you all the time. The one that gave you authority, he says, I'm with you. So don't be scared. I am with you. I trust and pray that you are willing, wanting to be fishermen. Being fishermen. I know that before these fishermen were transformed into fishing for men, Jesus had to speak to them. He had to, in essence, he had to catch them. He told them, he said, hey, I'll make you fishermen. Follow me. Follow me. And it says in the text, when they got to the shore, they left everything. Their whole livelihood, they left it on the beach. I can't help but think there might have been a little bit of worry. Like, okay, I don't know how we're going to eat. I don't know what's going on, but it'll all work out because I'm a follower of Jesus now. And I think that when once we realize that we're followers of Jesus, yeah, things are going to happen, but there's something about having the Creator right there with you. The one who knitted you, the one that fashioned you, the one who breathed breath into you. Those men brought in a great haul of fish that day, and years later we know that they did even a bigger catch in Acts. We need to be fishers of men. Jesus is extending an invitation to you today. And maybe you're saying, okay, maybe you fall into one of these two categories. One, you're not even in the boat. Maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't surrendered everything. And I know that's hard for some, to surrender everything. I'm pleading with those here and those out there. Get in the boat. It'll be okay. You no longer have to navigate when you have the navigator in your boat, the captain. He knows what he's doing. And for those of us who are children of God, he's saying, hey, go out into the deep. Cast your nets out there. Go to where you feel uncomfortable with. I want you to be fishers of men. Will you do that? Father, today, as we come to a close this morning, I pray that we remain strong in doing your work. That being number one, to share your love with others, and that others will see you through us, your kids. And that it's not a religious thing, but it's the love that binds us. And that we don't have to do it by ourselves, that we have brothers and sisters to come alongside us. Father, I pray this morning that you would give us the strength and the courage, the determination to continue your work here on earth. In your name I pray. Amen.